Well, good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to greet all of our internet viewers. And today we have a couple of our internet viewers with us, Brother Hans and Sister Judith Munich there. If y'all want to stand up where everybody can greet you, we can embarrass you. We had a good time of fellowship last night, and they're a wonderful couple. Shake their hands and get to know them while they're here. They'll be here a week, I think. Let's see, we've got a letter here from Brother Charles Banda in Malawi. You can see their baptismal pool is a little different than ours. You wonder what else is in the water besides just water there. There's Malawi. There's Brother Charles. When I was there in 2003, a nice young man. He's got, I think, three kids now. There's his church in Biffy. And he says, I missed my letter last month. This last month and recently, so many things have happened. We've seen God working in various ways. The day before yesterday, we lost a child of a brother, and we ministered at the funeral. Sometimes God works more things on funerals than just a meeting. People here respect a funeral gathering more than any other gathering, it seems. And I did not understand what he said here, or didn't know about it. He said, traditional leaders, like the village chiefs, impose heavy fines and penalties for anybody not found at the funeral gathering. And as a result, more people gather, and God works many things when he uses us in such places. So a lot of unbelievers there. He says, I don't have so much to write, so I thought of telling my testimony by pictures that have happened recently. So we've got the picture here at the Benfey Church. And he says, this picture shows students of a nearby school, and actually, I think the Benfey Church might meet in the school building, and that's the school in the background. He says, three are believers and others are not. We shortly baptized two out of the unbelievers that are in the picture. Here are two of the brothers ready to be baptized. That's the first one there. He says, this is a picture when I was baptizing a brother after he had heard the message. There he is in the midst of baptism, coming out of baptism. And this is a picture of another brother baptizing, another minister baptizing another brother there at Biffy, who believed the message. So Brother Charles is a very faithful brother. We've been supporting him for many years, and he is one of the brothers who believed the message. His parents kicked him out of the home, so Brother Paddington brought him into his home. And he went to the school there and eventually became a minister, and he's out on his own now. Let's see, this is Brother John Rasha. He's also from there in Medici. And I like his letter here. To me, you need third world letters because they're so much different than the Westerners. You know, in Europe and in Pakistan, you have the same living situation, but in the third world, you don't. And they have a lot of pressure on them monetarily. They don't have as many things that distract them. I think there's an inverse relationship between the amount of things we have and sometimes the spiritual walk we have. So this is a good letter from a different perspective, and I like the idea here. He says, it's so nice to be able to greet you in the precious name of Jesus. We had a wonderful night recently where we received showers of blessings. We have taken much time without having overnight prayer at the church, so we decided to have it at the month end of October. God came down and performed his wonders. We had sick people, afflicted people, and unsaved there, but we thank God that no one went home with sickness or affliction, and all were healed. Morning came, and three people said, "What can stop us from being baptized?" So they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as we were coming out, we were really changed. This name needs to be glorified now and forever. You know, how long has it been since we've had an overnight prayer meeting? And I think if we did more things like this, we might see more results like this. We also had another wonderful time with the Wimba Church where I went to minister. I was preaching on Identified with Jesus. And as I was there, two brothers came from that church, came to the church where the word was ministered. I appreciate your prayers and financial support, which is $60. And And we were able to send out all the support this quarter and pretty much broke even, maybe a little ahead, but not much. Thanks to the Lord and your faithfulness. Let's see, this is from, I got the map wrong. This is going to be from Brother Vladek Krozak, and you can see the Czech Republic is at the bottom there, and where he ministered is in his wife, Poland. He lives in the Czech Republic, and he travels over in Poland and ministers. He actually translates the message into Polish, and then which we help him with the printing costs as a church and as individuals here, and then he carries it and distributes it to Poland. So there's Brother Vladek and his family, and it's winter there. There's his winter home, so he's probably spends his time this time of year doing his translating. I'll read here. He says, this is Brother Vladek and Sister Esther singing at the meeting, and this is Wyke, Poland. Through the grace of God, I have finished the translation of Christ the Healer, and it is now prepared to be printed. Now I translate the family altar compiled by Brother Tim Dodd. The time is very short, and the harvest is near. The sister, we read about her a couple of weeks ago, the sister from Zaswick that was sick with cancer of the kidney is now in very good condition. We had anointed her with oil according to James 5 and believed that the demon of the sickness died. However, the doctors constrained her to have the tumor cut out, and she agreed, and the operation was made. And I believe, like Brother Branham said, that it is good when the surgeon can remove the dead tumor from the body of the sick person because her bloodstream is not occupied with cleaning of the body. Recently, we visited a group of about 25 believers in Zwijk, Poland, where I've ministered already a few times. And let's see, he sent about a 30-second film clip that we're going to show after this. There they are singing there. And he said he ministered there a few times. And this summer, he said they baptized two young sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had talked about that this summer. Those are the summer meetings. You can see Brother Gerd there, Brother Vladek, and there are the two sisters that they got baptized. He says, I baptized two sisters. They were very young believers and need suitable spiritual food, but they're very zealous and sincere hearts, and they want to serve the Lord to be transformed into His likeness. We had a great time under the preaching of God's word and the message, and also worshiping God at the end of the message. And I know that Brother Hines says that they meet in homes over where he is sometimes, and they in Pakistan, you know, they don't have the church building, so they meet in homes. And this is the film clip that we're going to show here is a home meeting there, and you'll see the Brother Vladek and Sister Esther singing, and then you'll see the kind of cramped quarters. It's not as big as what we have here, but I'm sure it's a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. So I talked to Brother Anwar, and they were having special meetings this weekend, which you'll probably report on, but another minister had come out of the UPC church, wanted him to have meetings there at his church, inviting other ministers as well as his church there, and he was very excited. So pray for the work in Poland. And Brother Franco will show this film clip, and then Brother Tommy can come. God bless you.
Because stójmy czas, aby nasze życie było podobne do Niego. Amen. Jeszcze w tym czasie, kiedy jest czas łaski. Jeszcze czas łaski się nie skończył, bracie.
Amen. Ci do raju Jezus wie. Tam chór aniołów będzie. Na harfach zawsze grał. I mnogo
when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings.
Out in the camp this morning. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to just be His?
Yes, amen.
You say, well, I don't have the blessings maybe that I'd want. But you're His.
Yes, amen.
You belong to Him.
That's right.
If you delight yourself in Him, everything else takes care of itself, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The desires of your heart. And if you really look deep enough in the desires of your heart, we find out it's not things, is it?
No, it's not.
It's Him.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we just look to the Lord this morning? I don't want you to be scared of all these books. I just I had to dig out my old Bible, the one that's falling apart, because the new Thompson chain, the pages are all messed up because they computerized the notes. I don't know if y'all know that. You can't buy the old Thompson chain, but you can still buy the old Scofield. But I started reading Thompson chain 40 years ago, and I guess I'm not going to stop now. So we want to speak from our heart. I'm not exactly sure where the Lord's going to take this morning. So you just pull on the gift of God, and let's be all right.
Yes.
Let's just trust Him, because He's our teacher, right?
Amen.
He's our minister. He's our counselor. He's everything we need. Let's just look to Him this morning. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 11. And I didn't give anybody a title. I apologize for that. But I did have a title in mind. Let's just start with verse 1. It said, when Jesus had finished... Excuse me. And when it came to pass... I have two versions here. And it came to pass... Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, art thou He that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And then he asked the question in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see. A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? I say unto you, more than a prophet. Let's just ask God to add his blessing to the reading of the word. Father, we just look to you this morning. What did we expect to see when we look to the word of God in this day? That's a question, Lord, we're going to delve into this morning. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive everything that the Spirit would have to say to the church. From the pulpit to the pew, we're all got our hearts open. We want to hear from you this morning, Lord. We thank you that you've called us together for this day. And we thank you for the time that we will have in your presence as you lead us into the truth. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Must have been an important question. What did you go out to see? What did you think you'd find when you were looking? I don't know about you. I wasn't looking for Elijah, even though the Bible says he had to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But we see the parallel. Once again, and Elijah came. What were the churches looking? I was on the internet, on the computer, and I happened to just breeze through a message by Tommy Osborne at Brother Branham's funeral in 1966. It was after in the spring when he had his funeral, and he was gushing, and that with the fact that God had come down in this day, and Bible days are here again. What were they looking for? What were they looking to see in the Elijah prophet to this day? Some of us had some grandiose ideas of what it was God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, got all excited, didn't we? And I hope you're still excited. But something changed. When John the Baptist came, he attacked every established ordinance and religious practice, as it were. And they didn't like him, none. Can you say amen? But we are a bit disheartened when everybody doesn't like our Elijah in our day. But what did he come to do to bring? Say, oh, you Pharisees, are you doing so great? Let me just give you a hand. Let's just keep as you were. That's what the officer, if an officer walks in the presence of a private or someone under rank, that he outranks, they snap to attention, and then if he's really not too badge heavy, he'll say, as you were. Jesus, how many knows Jesus didn't say, as you were? He didn't say, keep doing what you've been doing. Oh, I've got a little bit more instruction for you. No. He changed everything. Everything. That was Elijah, was a forerunner to the one who came to change everything. Brother, sister, there was once Jesus came on the scene and laid the word plain. The parallels are just incredible. In our day, they loved Brother Branham back in the 40s and 50s. Oh, this guy, have him come to our church. Except for those who were really stuck down in the mud somewhere that didn't believe the days of miracles were past, and they never gave him another notice. But those whom he was sent to, he was sent to the Pentecostals. Because they were the only ones that would give him an ear. But they didn't hear. Just as surely as the Pharisees and the scribes and that the law was done away in Christ, so was it when Christ returned in this day. Everything is done away in Christ. And it's a new day. I read something the other day that stimulated me a bit. I think it was Brother Morris's book, and he says, we're a different species. You ever think of yourself as being a different species? You see, this is the generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, I want you to see that Jesus didn't come in his day. He didn't come to keep propagating the status quo. And if we're not careful, it's been all these years since the prophet's gone and the message is still as alive as it ever was. But we'll substitute the new and living way that God has made for us. The restoration process brought back what Paul preached. Can you say amen? That was restoration. We'll slip back into the status quo. You see, what the law was, I mean, the last time I preached on on Phariseeism a bit. And Jesus didn't have a whole lot of grace for the hypocrites. I'm sorry. You can't find a place. Only the repentant ones got grace. Because they had it all figured out. In fact, as we read the last time in Matthew 23, you don't go in, you Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. And the sad thing is you don't let those in your flock go in either. So he came to change all that. He gave us a new and living way within the veil. Oh, but that was then, and that's all settled. We're just gonna roll on into heaven. Well, glory to God. There's another veil at the end time, wasn't there? And it was a man veil. It was the human mind. And Jesus didn't have to fight. Jesus fought spirits, and the spirits didn't die. And we're fighting the same devils. They want to give a substitute gospel, a substitute message. We got people who are bastardizing this message in the name of holiness, in the name of works, in the name of something that doesn't produce Christ. Everything we have, brother, sister, is because of what He did. Amen. He came to change everything. I'm glad. Amen. Because there's no life in the system. Just as sure as that system is dead after Christ came and laid bare the plan of God, Pentecost died on the vine because they refused to take the restoration of the bride tree. They refused to take what God was doing. I want to read something. It's a book I read. And it's a little scenario, and I guess I could tell it myself, but Jeff Van Vonderen tells it so much better. This is the conditions that Jesus came into. Now, we always thought it was kind of weird. It's kind of a little uncomfortable that Jesus would go through the temple driving out the money changers. How did he get the authority to do that? Most people didn't know who he was. Where did he get the authority to drive those money changers out? And did you ever stop and think, what was the scenario? What was the setting that made Jesus so angry? And he was angry. If you read Josephus, you'll find that he was a Jewish historian contemporary with Christ, and he said, he went through the temple like a madman. Wow. Sweet Jesus. You see, he's no longer that little Jesus boy laying in a manger. He's the God of this universe. He's the one that spoke this thing into existence. He's the God, the mighty God. So the scenario is, you realize... And we're going to look at some more, as I called them last time, scathing denunciations of what Jesus thought about the scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. John the Baptist didn't think too much of them either, did he? He said, "You snakes, who's warned you of the wrath to come? Of the wrath to come. You bring me some fruit. You bring me some evidence that you really want something different. Because what God is doing is different." This is not Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic warmed over and fed to the bride. It won't work. This is all new. It's wonderful to preach principles of the Scriptures and get help, and those are still at our disposal. But this is not to, this that God has done in our day is not available to everyone. He said, "Well, you sound like it's us four no more." I'm sorry. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Is that the truth? Is it still true? You mean, is the closer we get to 2040? Is it still going to be true? He said, "Unto you is given to know," Jesus said, "the mysteries of the kingdom." He wasn't just flowing along and gathering steam. He was changing direction, and the established religionists of that day didn't like it none. They hated him so much that they crucified him. And the Bible said, if they really knew who he was, and they didn't, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. The day's going to come. And I'm going to tell you, if we think it's going to be some multitudinous group at the end time, I'm afraid we might have another think coming. Because everything that God has done is based on his elective love. If you don't believe that, I want you to make yourself elect tonight. I want you to do something that will make you elect. As I said once before, go ahead. Get the Holy Ghost. I dare you. You see, it's a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is a down payment of everything that's to follow. The Holy Ghost was not some place where we're supposed to hunker down, like the Pentecost did. They camped out at Pentecost. They actually camped out in the upper room and never went on to the perfection that God had. God gave the "Thus saith the Lord" prophet in this day so that we could go on to our inheritance. How many want your inheritance? How many have ever received an inheritance check from an estate that you were part of the family or something? Most of us at some time or another, or we know somebody that did. What did you do to earn that? Well, I was just a Brooks. What did you have to do with that? Well, I guess nothing. Well, I'm a child of God. What did you have to do with that? You see, when all the dust settles, the scribes and the Pharisees are left naked. And the Laodicean church age is left naked, wretched, poor, and blind, and they don't know it. That's even worse. But the scenario that Jesus came to is exactly the scenario that we found in the churches in Laodicea. And I want to just read this. I hope you don't mind. But anyway, so here's the setting. By the time the Jews came along, the setting where Jesus went through the temple, that was Passover. And so everybody had to come to make their sacrifice, right? That was their right standing with God. We'll read it in a minute, but in Matthew in Mark 7, Jesus blasted the Pharisees, said, "You've made the word of God of none effect." How can that be? You mean the all-powerful word of God can be made of none effect? We'll look at it in a minute, but this is the scenario. This is where we find the Jewish nation struggling under a load of works, struggling under a load of out of control leadership who were power grabbing, who gained power by on the backs of the unsuspecting and the needy people, the people who wanted to serve God. Do you think there's a church in this land where people go that don't want to get close to God? They're looking, they're searching. And they become victims because of the scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, wolves in sheep's clothing. And what do the wolves in sheep's clothing do? They devour the whole flock. We got a guy that we get our milk from. I'll get to this in a minute. And it got close to Thanksgiving. I saw a couple of turkeys running around his barnyard, and I said, "Oh man, have you got some? You got some turkeys?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got four." I said, "Oh, I guess they're already gone." "Yeah." He
He said, I had 41. Coyotes came in, wiped all but four in one night. When Jesus said, ravenous wolves. Now, do you think the devil cares who he steals, kills, and destroys from? Doesn't matter. In fact, the seeker is the one who gets hurt. Unless he finds the truth for his day. And every day God, we see God restore. But at the end time, it all comes together. Well, here it was all coming together in Christ. And so they were coming together and they were really... And do you think the Jews were sincere? I think they were. And in fact, if you look in the upper room, there was all Jews. They were. What did you go out to see? I don't know, but we saw something that was real. And here's a scenario, and I thought this was good. I hope you can bear with me. Here's the experience of one father as he arrives in Jerusalem on Passover with his family. He says, I was feeling more excitement and anticipation this year than in other years. For the first time, all the children could really understand what was going on. They got a revelation. They're starting to understand God and the things that we do, you know. He said, we had already noticed a simple faith in them. And they have a yearning for the truth of God that I had not seen before. Does that make you happy when you look and see your kids hungering for truth? Amen. What if that hunger never gets sidetracked by some leadership, some church that has an agenda that's not God's agenda? That's what's happening here. He said they had a yearning for truth. Surely we thought the place to fan that flame is at the temple in Jerusalem. I remember looking at them with their yearling lamb for months. They had cared for him and he had become to them a cherished pet, though he was to be our family sacrifice. The children had chosen to raise the lamb themselves. This sacrifice was clearly a gesture from their heart. And when we came into Jerusalem, there were two imposing images that I shall never forget. First, the temple itself, its silent stones keeping us away from the holy presence of God. Courtyards within courtyards allowing fewer and fewer people near to the Holy of Holies. All could enter into the outer courtyard, the place of the Gentiles. Beyond that was an imposing door in another courtyard. Into this courtyard only we Jewish men could go, no Gentiles, no women, no children. There were six ascending courtyards in all. Each of them excluded a few more people until at the top of the Temple Mount stood the final court. This was the Holy of Holies. Into that place only the high priest could dare to venture, and only once a year on that Day of Atonement. And as I stood with my family in the outer court, I felt small and insignificant. I want to know God. I think I love God. But will I ever be acceptable in His sight? This I don't know. Only the religious leaders can say. But then I was struck with a second imposing image, the Bazaar of Annas. The bazaar was created by the former high priest Annas to provide pilgrims with all the necessary implements of worship. Space in the courtyard was rented to chosen vendors who set up shop in a small booth. Each booth provided animals for the sacrifice and implements for cleansing. In addition, there were many religious trinkets you could purchase. Now I'm going to stop and add a comment here. Are you a little bit full of the Jesus junk that's out there in the world? I don't mean that sacrilegious. You understand? There's just a lot of religious trinkets, and people. I just. Maybe you think I'm weird, but I call it Jesus junk, and it's capitalizing on a it's a market. I like neat spiritual stuff. I don't mean that, but there's so much that's just. Doesn't have any basis in Scripture, but these were the trinkets. And he said, you could buy these trinkets to prove your devotion. The prices were very, very high. A lamb purchased at the temple could cost 10 times the market value. We were taught by the rabbis not to question whether this bazaar really did provide a necessary service,
Because after all, people could lose their sacrifice on the long journey or forget some necessary tool, and they could purchase it there. Then I saw what was called the booth of approval, manned by one of the strictest of the Pharisees. Before we could offer our family's lamb for sacrifice, it had to be approved. We stood in a long line, nervously waiting for our lamb to be inspected. To our disappointment rose as it became clear that most of the people's offerings were being rejected. Not good enough. Not clean enough. Not big enough. By the time our turn came, I knew the verdict and I was right. Rejected. Go to one of the vendors' booths, we were told. There you can purchase a lamb pre-approved for sacrifice. You don't even have to come back here for approval. They can take care of all your needs right there. My heart sank. The children were confused. What about our lamb? What about our sacrifice? Doesn't God care about that? How do we get to God? I suppose we just have to follow the rules. After all, we're in His temple. True, something feels wrong in all this, but this is God's house. It says so right on the sign outside. I suppose we should just pick a vendor's booth and get on with it, which one did not seem to matter much. They all had a little different sales pitch, but basically the same merchandise was available. We finally settled on a vendor because he looked friendly. He quickly sold us a lamb at 10 times its real value, and then he proceeded to inform us of the other necessary implements for proper worship that we did not know of. Wanting to show our true love for God, we paid the fees. But there was a serious problem at the end of the day. It was simply this. We never knew if we were pleasing to God or just to the religious leaders. It seemed that the kingdom of heaven was too far beyond our reach. Now, sound familiar? Did any of those spirits die? You see, what did you go out to see? If you were looking for more of what you've been in, you would probably be disappointed and go back to what you came out of or what you were in when you went to see. But if there's something burning within your heart that won't be satisfied, that you knew that what you had wasn't making the grade. And Jesus came to change it all so that he tore the curtain. And when he said, "It is finished," the curtain rent from top to bottom. And the Holy of Holies was laid bare. Is that just a neat Sunday school lesson or is that a reality to you? You see, I don't want you to have the comment that this young Jewish father said, "I just don't know if we ever really measure up. How can I know?" And that's what Jesus came to make a way. He made the way clear. It's a new way based on better promises. Can you say amen? Not just warmed over Phariseeism. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want, what Jesus provided was definitive. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified if it's okay. I want you to see, Jesus is never for the status quo. We can draw, and you know, the Bible's filled, the whole Word has come alive. And the principles of the Word of God will work for the shuck out there. It'll work for the nominal Christians because there's power in the Word. But God hasn't called us to that only. I said only. You better have the principles of God in your life. And if you're not, you're living beneath your privilege. But the fact remains, God chose us for something special at the end time. And all the amount, no amount of works or lack thereof or any kind of man-made structure can change the fact that God has called us to a higher calling. We're a different species. If we fail, we're still His. It's not based on what we done. Brother Bram says it's based on what He done. But you know what? He says, once you realize what He did, what's your heart's desire? Oh, I just want to please Him.
But you have, in order to do God's will, in order to walk with God, you've got to know that He wants to walk with you. That you do have a way that you can know, that you can know, that you can know. Now, I talk to people all the time in message circles. And in fact, many times, just in the last 2-3 weeks, counseling a mother-daughter that doesn't even go to this church, don't go to church anywhere that I know. And she gave her heart to the Lord in a counseling session because she never knew that Jesus could care. She never knew that there was a door open for even her, former drug addict and all the things, just her life, middle-aged woman. Just couldn't believe that God made a way, because all she's known was Phariseeism. And she told me something that really struck me. She said, you know what, I've been going to church all my life. She's raised Roman Catholic. And people will get out in the awfulest weather and wheelchairs and to go into the Mass. And I scratch my head. I go, but I don't even know why I go. He said, but what are they? Why do these people do this every week? She said, until you started telling me about a personal relationship with Jesus, I didn't know what motivated them to go to church every Sunday. He said, but I really know. They didn't have it. It was out of obligation, but it's different. He said, and when I first began to talk to her, I wanted her to envision Jesus. And she says, He's way far away. He's so far away, I can hardly see Him. In the last session, she said, and her countenance changed. And she said, Jesus is right here with me. For the first time in my life, Jesus is near. I don't know where God's going to take that young soul in the Lord. But all I know is it's got nothing but good awaiting it. And so you pray that God will bless this gal, because she's just a sponge pulling and pulling. But she saw the way clear to come to Jesus. He said, ye that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now who works? We understand that God's doing the pulling. But are you glad that He's pulling? Because if He didn't pull, you couldn't come. I didn't say it'd be hard for you to come. He said, if God don't draw you, you can't come. So let's rejoice that He's calling, that He's pulling. There was a pull in the Jewish nation. They were tired up to here with scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, wolves in sheep clothing, devouring the flock like that pack of coyotes devoured. They had turkey for a long time. $1,500 worth of turkey, the guy told me. I'd say he'd like to get the wolves out of have a posse and clean out the coyote. I didn't realize coyotes were such a problem, and I'm not a farmer. I guess you knew that. Only I'm doing better. We made some real butter from some real cow cream the other day, and I was proud as I could be. I don't have hayseed in my hair, but it made me feel good. And it actually tasted like butter. The only thing we didn't put is the yellow food coloring in to make it look more like commercial butter. But and it's real food. I'm drinking milk now that doesn't have none of the junk that Walmart puts in theirs. and I'm eating from a table in the spiritual realm that don't add any junk added. Hallelujah. But you, why am I doing that? Because I'm so special? Well, in a way, yes. He made me accepted in the beloved. You realize He chose me for this message? If He didn't choose you for this message, I feel sorry for you. It's the most wonderful thing that ever came across. When I was looking, I didn't know what I was looking for, but when I found it, I knew it. Did you? All right. Don't forget that. And if you haven't found what you're looking for, open your eyes. The devil will do everything he can to keep you off into the weeds. That's his job. He does his job well. He said, well, I go to Brother Jeff's church. I'm okay. Maybe, maybe not. You see, it's not, how many times you heard Brother Jeff say, we're not going up as bananas in a bunch. We each have to have an individual affair. And you have to have encounter with Christ the Word. These Pharisees had it all figured out. I mean, they had... Let's just... Before we go to Hebrews, just keep your finger in Hebrews. Let's go to Mark 7. The Amplified is a little bit much, but I want to read it because both these passages are very good. He said, "Now they're gathered together to Jesus, the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. For they had seen what some of his disciples ate with... That some of his disciples had ate with common hands, that is, unwashed, with defiled and unhallowed, because they had not given them a ceremonial washing." He said, well, they sure were picky. "And when they came," verse 3, "for the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless merely for ceremonial reasons. They wash their hands diligently up to the elbow, with clenched fist, adhering carefully and faithfully to the traditions and practices and customs handed down to them by their forefathers to be observed." Police. And I don't think anybody in the Message has any of those traditions handed down from generation to generation from our forefathers. I'm going to tell you what. When we came out of Pentecost, it was a long time before Pentecost came out of us, didn't it? And some people never do let it get out of them because they were kind of comfortable there. But that's another message. "And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions, oral, man-made laws handed down to them, which they observe faithfully and diligently, such as the washing of cups and wooden pitchers and wide-mouthed jugs and utensils of copper and so on. And the Pharisees and scribes kept asking Jesus, 'Why do your disciples not order their way of living according to the tradition handed down by our forefathers to be observed? But they eat with their hands unwashed and ceremonially not purified.'" Jesus got, I think he probably tuned out after the first four or five words. I think he got the message. You see, what at the end of the book, he that adds to or takes away from the book, his reward will be removed. He'll lose. You see, God's very, very important. It's very, very, very careful. And when the cup of iniquity towards in the Jewish nation was full and running over, Jesus came. The Bible says he came in the fullness of time. It was the fullness. They had made the Word of God such a mess. And it was still the same Word. They carried around the same Torah that all the others did. Look here what he says. "But he said to them, 'Excellently and truly, so that there will be no room for blame, did Isaiah prophesy of you, the pretenders and hypocrites, as it stands written, these people constantly honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far distant from me. In vain do they worship me, ordering and teaching as doctrines the commandments and precepts of men.'" Let's stop there. Why bother? There's some statements in the Message that are pretty stern, I have to admit. If I were writing the papers, I would make this thing so big that everybody could just, we just love everybody. And we're all going to go in the rapture. Glory to God, the hole's going to open up in the sky and we're all going to go. Brother Branham was asked one time, said, in questions and answers, and I've read this many years ago, I don't have it in front of me, but the question was, well, when the rapture goes, we have children. Will our children go in the rapture too? And Brother Branham didn't sidestep this one. And I like that. He said, he could have said, well, you know, God takes care of the children. No problem. But he didn't say that. And God does take care of the children. But he said, if they're predestinated. You see, this is that the prophets prophesied. This is the day that when all the pieces are fit together, all the scenario, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, those conditions were ripe. Here he came. Here came Christ at the end time. And what he did was not for the masses. When he died, he had no church. Brother Branham, I'm talking about now. They would stand with him. Full gospel businessmen pulled away. And what he prophesied about them putting businessmen in charge of the Word of God, it's a mess today. But you know what? God used that in my life. I made a very few quick steps through that into something with a little more substance, but it had its place. It was a stair step. But it was no place to hunker down and camp out at. God had this for me. He had this for you. He said, well, I don't know if I understand all that. I didn't say he made you to understand it all, but there's something in your heart that won't let you go back. I talk to people that all the time, they've backslid. And maybe 20 years they're wandering. And he said, but I never doubted that this message was true. What makes that happen?
Amen.
Something of a different species can respond to truth and the whole world goes to hell. You see, that doesn't make Brother Bob happy. You know me by now. But I am not going to deny the life that's within me. Amen. This message is sent to a special people at the end time, and only that special people can hear. And if that makes you feel like we sound like we're some exclusive group, I don't know how else to say it. Jesus had a special hand-picked group, didn't he? If he had one hand-picked group, does he have any more? Every one of his groups are hand-picked. He told his disciples, you didn't choose me. Oh, well, I thought I did. No, he said, I chose you. In fact, the Bible says you're not created, your works don't make you eligible for anything from God. Sorry. That's what he came to change. And he put it all aside so that the floodgates could open, so that he could have a relationship on an intimate, personal basis with every one of his children. The older I get, and I'm still young, so, you know, but not as young as I used to be. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like getting old none. It ain't fun. It's a curse. But there's one thing that tempers that with me. I know I got a 22-year-old body with curly hair and lots of it. And 180 pounds, not 200 and plenty, waiting for me. How do I know that? I just know it. Oh, but I failed God. Oh, but I got an inheritance, because I didn't earn the inheritance. It was given to me. Well, I'm going to be a better Brook so I can get an inheritance from my dad. Now, I had a good friend. It wasn't a good friend, because when I gave my heart to the Lord, I shared the gospel with David. And he throwed his hands up like this. Last time I talked to him, it's been probably 20-some years ago now. Bob, Bob, Bob. I said, you know, I don't want nothing to do with that God stuff. But there was something in Bob, in the same environment, we were both in the same drug culture. God says, far enough, Bob. You're a chosen vessel. How do you explain that? Somebody please. Oh, well, he just didn't want it. Why didn't he want it? The only thing about it, the only way, the word that described grace is amazing. If you think you earned it, you better think again. Now, after grace has been established in your life, needless to say, David went on more drugs, more drugs, more drugs. More women, more women, more women. He was some kind of absolute chick magnet. I don't get it. I mean, and the devil just pulled him right into the abyss. And I'm a little bit, Thomas Salsky knew him. And he ended up in prison because he had to steal to keep, had a heroin habit. And I'm down in Tennessee enjoying the goodness of God. Amen. Does God love me more than he did him? The only difference is there was something in my heart to respond to the gospel. Jesus said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, unto them it ain't. Who did that? Amen. The sovereign God did that. Amen. And I heard about David a few years ago, and I said, well, I need to go talk to him one more time. I didn't get to.
My mother called me on the phone about 3 weeks ago and said, honey, I got some bad news. He said, David Hunton passed away. He was in a nursing home, 58 years old. Now, I say that to say this. I don't know. If I'd have called him up again, I'd have probably got the same hands up. But Brother Bob would have felt better today. At least I tried. But sometimes we get so busy with our own trials and tribulations, our own life, and we forget there's a dying world out there. There's a predestinated seed here, there. I don't know where they are. And I don't... That man went on... We talked to his mother, and he said he never got free from the drugs. And 58, after 50-some years, he ended up in a nursing home and died in a nursing home. I'm a long ways from a nursing home, but I'm sure a long ways from that drug-crazed outfit. Why? The only thing I can tell you is His grace. But the Pharisees didn't want it that way. They made the Word of God of none effect where God couldn't reach them through that message, through that church. Do you realize what's happened in our day? Look around, brother, sister. I don't want you to look around and judge, but I want you to look around and appreciate where God has brought us. Amen. Look what the world calls church. It doesn't even resemble a graceful, safe place to worship God. There's no reverence. They brought rock and roll into the church because the young people demanded it. The Pharisees demanded a lot of things from the sheep, and they got it. But Jesus came and He went right for the jugular vein of that organization, of that system. And He said, this is not making the grade. There's a new and living way made for you. Just as new and living as that was in Christ's day, He came back again at the end time. Don't make this scene any less. It's not optional, brother, sister. It's for you. He came so that you didn't have to go down and never enter the kingdom of God through creeds and dogmas and all the junk that's been added to the Word of God. Because Jesus said, you've made the Word of God of none effect. I want to read this. You disregard and give up, let me go to the King James now. Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Verse 9, 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, whoso curses the father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father, it is Corban, that is the, in other words, there's some money involved. Whatsoever thou mayest be proper, man, he said, he shall be free. But, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother. You let him out of his obligation. That's the point. They took the plain teaching of the Word of God and watered it down so more people could. You know, there comes a time when the Bible, if it's just a soothing ointment for you, brother, sister, sometimes the Bible's hard. Sometimes the Word of God, why would God liken the Word of God to a sword? What do you do with a sword? Well, you cut things. Now, the only thing in the kingdom of God, in God's economy, if Jesus, the sword of the Word, cuts, He also heals. God didn't want to slice you up and kick you out, but He wants to cut through all the junk that's keeping you from Him. There's so much has been added to this message since the prophet's gone. If Brother Branham is looking, he's probably saying, this is the message that I gave my life for. But does that change the truth? If you get a counterfeit $20 bill, say, can't trust any of them now. Are you going to quit taking $100 bills? No. Brother Branham said, the counterfeit just makes you know there's a truth somewhere. Now, brother, sister, I don't want the counterfeit, and neither do you. But I want you to know that God went to a lot of trouble to bring a messenger from the eternity. Christ returned in this day through the Word of God made manifest. The voice of a prophet, Elijah prophet for this day. Whatever you want to add to that, just make sure that you don't forget where you're standing. We have a stance that
that the world system churches, they got a lot of neat things. Dr. Dobbs is a wonderful man, but he hasn't got a clue what we're looking at here. Because he wasn't chosen for that. That's okay. But you're a chosen generation. I don't think I'm getting across what's in my heart, but I want you to know I've been through the mud. I've been through the searches. And I just touched on this the last time I preached. When I found truth, I was done looking. That doesn't mean I'm done searching for more of Him. But I found the where to search. Brother Man made an interesting statement. He said, nothing outside this message will come to life. What do you mean there's no life in any other word? The life that we're going to come to is, everything else is going to go through tribulation. Everything else. You know what? There'll be some good people who will go through the great tribulation. Some of us sitting right here in this room no more understand what it means to be born again. I'm sorry. And if I'm not a part of what God's doing, let me get out of her way. Brother Bram said, if I'm not bride, by the grace of God, I won't stand in her way. But there's a species of people at the end time who just can't forsake the Word of God because everything changed. Does it make your trials go any better? No, probably not. A little bit, because you know that there's something, a more enduring reward down the road. I can see where we're not going to get through this. So let me find a period here. Verse 2, you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have delivered and such like things that you do. I ask you a question. Is there something we can do as believers or as leadership? Most of this falls on the leadership. He's talking about the leadership that can make the word of God of none effect. Well, let's just analyze that a bit. What is the effect that God wants? When he sent, thus saith the Lord, and vindicated a prophet like no man has ever been vindicated, period. None. Because he wanted to make sure that we heard that man. What was God's end result? What did he want? What was the effect that he wanted? There had to be, or God's a liar, there had to be a people at the end time who would walk to the tree of life and live forever. Who would not only just have an experience of with the Son of Man, with the Son of God, in the sense that some Savior, as wonderful as that experience was, but there was more for us. He gave us the Holy Ghost, not so we could have the Holy Ghost. Now, stay with me. He gave us the Holy Ghost so we could go on to get everything he had for the end time bride. Without that Holy Ghost, and what's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Well, he said he made the Pentecostals mad because he walked all over their pet doctrine. Tongues is the evidence. He said it ain't. And they all turned against him wholesale. Well, they still liked the signs and wonders. Those were neat. And so they came up with a neat little doctrine amongst the Pentecostals when Brother Branham was alive, because they couldn't deny that God was with them. And that was incredible signs and wonders, like unbelievable. Prophet. Yeah, Brother Branham's a prophet, but when it comes to doctrine, you got to stay away. Hello? But some people say, oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, that's really deep. Was there ever a prophet that God didn't put his word? The word always comes to the prophet. Now, I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you all know this, don't you? We see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. But their ears are waxed dull. Who did that? If you got a problem with a sovereign God who does what he wants to after the counsel of his, works all things after the counsel of his own will, you're in trouble. You got to let God be God here, brother, sister. But when you do that, don't get, I feel sorry for the people. My friend David lived a life of penitentiary, in and out of jail, drugs, couldn't even function, and died without God, unless somebody got to him at the last minute, and I have no We have no way of knowing. We haven't yet sit down and talked with their mom. And his brother died the same death. Why does God let that happen? God didn't let it happen. There was nothing in there to respond to the word of God. Unto you it is given, unto them it's not. Who does the judging? God does. Can you let Jesus be Jesus? Let God be God tonight, this morning. And rejoice in it. Can you rejoice in that? That you're, Jesus said, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape what's coming on the earth. Oh, I don't know. Things are moving pretty fast, aren't they? If you got a 401k, it's a 40, it's a 200 and a half K by now. Yeah. 40%, some more. Depends on where you had it. Depends on how good your fund manager is, I guess. But who's really managing the funds? Jesus is. I got a feeling we're all going to be broke together someday. And God will have His way. God doesn't need you and I. We need Him. But He made a choice to forgive us when we didn't even care a whit about Him. Now, if it's grace, it's no more works. You can't have your cake and eat it. When I was a little boy, I was still home. My mama was always baking sweets and stuff, and that's how come I don't weigh under 200 pounds a day. It's not her fault. I mean, I make the choices myself. She'd make some neat cake, some cookies, and I'd get first fruits, right? And she tells me this because I don't remember it. and I get my fill of the cookies and milk. And of course, the other kid, my sisters and brother, my sister was off at school, and my other brother wasn't even born yet. And my sister and then dad was gone, and said, and so I'd fold them up, and I said, we'll save the rest. We don't want them to have it. You want to save the rest? I want everything. I want all that God has for me. But it's not. It is given to us to enjoy. If you're not enjoying this message, shame on you. Not shame. Forgive. That's a bad word. I feel sorry for you. Because He's given us all things richly to enjoy, but not because we're just doing the status quo thing. I don't want warmed over Pentecost. I'm sorry. Been there, done that, and I didn't like it when I was in it. I sure ain't going back. It was great until I found this by God's grace. Notice, let's go back to our Hebrews. I'm going to close with that. I'll never get... Jeff will quit calling on me when he realizes that I can't pay attention to the clock. Maybe that'd be a good thing for you all. What did I say? Hebrews 10? All right. Let's drop down to about, verse 19. Paul's bridging the gap, isn't he? Now, there's a dispute whether Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't think I have a dispute. I think he was the only one qualified to do it. Paul was uniquely qualified for his ministry, wasn't he? Was William Branham uniquely qualified at the end time? Absolutely. Because he didn't want us to trusting in man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we've got. Who did that? God in His infinite wisdom. So that you could see. And so that some who weren't ordained to see couldn't see anyway. You realize He blinded some? Some are blind. Well, let's have a tent revival. Let's make all those people who are blind to see. I don't know. I think we tried it. God will see to it that every predestinated seed will get the Word of God. Come on. Everybody that comes in here gets the Holy Ghost and gets their life straightened out. Wonderful church. Something wrong with the church? Well, that's what some people want to say. There's nothing wrong with the church. This is God's choosing. I don't care where you go from there, but you cannot get away. That's the foundation of everything that God has done in this hour. He made it available to those who could hear. He that hath an ear, if you have an ear this morning, rejoice. Because millions don't. Do I feel sorry for them? Yes. Are there some out there that still have an ear, haven't heard? Yes. But when the last one comes in, it's over. That doesn't make me happy, except I know I'm leaving. If I'm one of them. This is a radically new way. Look at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ, by this fresh, new, and living way which He initiated and dedicated and opened for us. Who did it? He did it. Who did He do it for? Us. Who the us? Those who have ears to hear, eyes to see. Unto you it's given, unto them it's not. It's always been that way. Brother, sister, if this were for the masses, this church wouldn't be big enough 10 times in Lyman. And it wouldn't be big enough 5 times if everybody that ever came to BCF over the last 20-some years were here this morning. Right? We'd have to have 3 services. Why? The Word of God is only for those whom God has ordained to receive it. But He made a way for millions go to hell and miss it. I'm sorry. I can't change that. I started to say this earlier. The older I get, the more I realize how in the God's creation is God going to sort through all the strata of believers and unbelievers. It boggles my mind. I don't know about you. I think about that a lot. Because I know some good people that haven't got an ear to hear. They love Jesus. Unto whom much is given, much is required. We've got a responsibility this morning. But there's a lot of good people out there. James Dobson didn't start that ministry out there to be a bad person. It was on his heart, and God blessed it. But this isn't for him. Maybe it is. Brother Ram says, he said, don't you dare put anybody out. I said, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Some of you have been witnessing people for a long time. Don't give up. Because there's nothing outside this message that'll come to life. You want them to have life. But God made a way. And he says, let's just read on. I didn't realize this. Does that light work? That's another thing when you get older. You've got to have more light. He says, by this fresh new way, He has opened for us through the separating curtain of the veil of the Holy of Holies, that is through His flesh. So the veil was His flesh. They couldn't get past His flesh. Did it change at the end time? No. Brother Branham was a wonderful man, oh, such a humble man, but he got off at the end. That was his flesh getting in the way. They didn't have any authority to say that, nor did the Pharisees have any authority. And one of the things they noticed when Jesus was walking on this earth, he said, he speaks as one who has authority. Now, I want to say this. He put it, it's all over. He didn't say, now, keep doing your sacrifices, keep doing all those things. It's done. And when Brother Branham said, Ichabod is written over the door of the church at the end time, he meant it. He couldn't say only but what God said. Now, we can go back there and try to pump life into a dead corpse. Brother Branham, like in one denomination, said it's like kissing and making love to a dead corpse. Why? How could he say that? That happens to be the denomination I came out of, or similar. It's still a mystery to me that the Nazarene camp—that's who he was talking about—the Nazarene church ever let us have one meeting. Knowing what Brother Branham said about their organization. I go to my mom and dad's church. When I was a kid, there was still some semblance of holiness, at least outward. And then never would you see anybody going to church in pants. So what does that have to do with anything? Must be important, because thus saith the Lord, prophet at the end time, said, abomination. and go back today in shorts, pants. It's almost like it's just gradually went, and there's no message, because that has gone away. I've been to message churches that I wonder, what are they doing? Did they do what Jesus said do, or are they just repeating what he said? There's something we're missing, brother, sister, and I want us all to go on, because we have the Holy Ghost. We have an invitation to go to the fullness and to receive that redemptive grace that only the bride can have. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you share this with all your friends that you're sharing the message, but the reality is this is true. We can't change it. Oh, let's just stop here, and I'm going to let you go. I realize it's 12:27 just turned. What Jesus did was radical. Everything that those people knew. We read the little blurb about the little dramatization of the Hebrew family, father and his kids. And they were doing everything they could to get next to God. And in spite of everything they did, leadership, people, men kept them from the entrance to the kingdom. Jesus came along and said, well, I hate to do this to you guys, but he really didn't hate to, because he knew his enemy was not the publican and the sinner, the harlot. No, they came in they flocked to him with open arms, didn't they? Because he showed mercy to those unrepentant, or those who were looking, who didn't have it all figured out. If you come into this message and get it all, and waiting to get it all figured out, you're going to miss something. But he opened it. He let them have it. He said, everything that you've been doing, it's no more. Oh, is that right? We'll show you. Crucify him. He's a blasphemer. I repeated. Jesus came in this day, according to Scripture, and they said, crucify him. Oh, they just didn't like Brother Branham's Hanks, totes, and carries, right? I mean, I had one guy, I shared the message with him 30 years ago. He got took pictures in my wedding, no longer than that. And I said, he was a good charismatic boy. And he said, throw his hands up. He said, no. He said, no. He said, I can't go there. That was not what he didn't say that. That's more modern. He said, I can't accept that. I said, why? Well, he wasn't well known enough. I mean, God didn't have any education. God wouldn't do that. God did. Was Jesus known? People never knew he was around in his day. See, nothing's changed as far as God is concerned. But man changed the Word of God, 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 and made it of none effect. Was that the Word of God that Moses got on the mountain? Pure. When Jesus got there, did he recognize it? Nope. Was that thus saith the Lord that the prophet got when he was here? Yep. Are we in danger of maybe adding to and adding to and adding to, or taking away and making that message of none effect? Yep. So Brother Bob's not scolding. I'm just saying, don't forget what we have. It's life. You say, well, I don't understand how God could be so picky. I don't either. But I can't deny that he's the one that's calling the papers. He's the one that's judging the papers. He's done something special for a special people that ought to give us cause to rejoice. I'm happy. Sometimes I'm not as happy as others. It just tears me up to see people struggle and not struggle well. Remember, I preached, I used that, I like that term. I want the church to be able to stand up and say, you know, Brother Bob, I'm struggling with this, this, this. And not look down their nose at them and say, Well, you just need to get the Holy Ghost. I know people, do you think Brother Branham didn't struggle? Did he have the Holy Ghost? Hello? Life, he said, was meant to be a struggle. What do you want to do? You want so there's no struggle? Then you're in the wrong church. You're in the wrong word. You're in the wrong movement. You're in the wrong place. Because the word is, every man is pressed because of the word. But we're going to press well. We're going to struggle well because of what he's done. Because we're his chosen bride. And he's the one that's doing the work. Most elementary revelation, and I'm done. If the musicians want to come. Most elementary revelation I got, I've maybe been a Christian about a year, maybe less, I can't remember. I know it was hot, and I got saved in January, so it probably was in the first year. And I was going through I've told you this before, but I was going through some deep trial. I didn't have no answers, and up to that point, every time if I had a headache, I'd just lay hands on my head and it'd go away, you know, and God would answer your prayers, and boy, this is great. All of a sudden, God says, time for a little pressure. You see, if you want to build muscles, you better hide your lazy boy. Lazy boys don't build muscles. Table muscles, maybe. But you got to have some resistance, don't you? Aren't you glad God knows that we need resistance? If everybody did, this is such a great message you guys believe in. A prophet and everything. Great! You don't get that response often, do you? In fact, most of us came in kicking and with our heels dug in because we had been indoctrinated with all the unbelief from the systems that were leading people away from God instead of to God. And so I drove a big old truck over to North Carolina and picked up a load of pipe for a tobacco warehouse we were putting a sprinkler system in. And I'm just dying. I'm just depressed. And I thought, wow, this is the pits. I thought it was glory hallelujah all the way. And I was thinking, what's something wrong? Maybe I'm not a Christian anymore. I mean, all these thoughts. You've been there? Anybody been there? No, maybe just me. Well, when you get there, you'll be able to remember what I tell you, and you'll understand. I don't even know what the trial was. For my life of me, I can't remember what it was. It was something so devastating. I was just dying. And just me and God. And all of a sudden, the scripture came to my mind. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, you understand, but nonetheless, I was this child. God wanted me to know what was going on. I didn't know much, but I didn't need to know much because I was just a babe. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that you love me. And that was comforting. It really was. But I still had this ugh in my heart. And it came, read it again. Now, I didn't have my Bible. I'm unloading this pipe piece by piece. We didn't have forklift because we were a young company, didn't have any money. They had no business being in business, but truth of it, in 2 years it was bankrupt, but nonetheless. I'm loading away and casting all your care for me, for he cares for you. Oh, you love me. Oh, he said, and it just came to me, there are plenty of scriptures that say I love you. That ain't one of them. Read it again. And finally, a light came on. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Who made the way clear so that you didn't have to go the way of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our day? I just read there in Hebrews 10. When you get home, read the whole chapter of Hebrews 10, where how he places the law. The law has no more effect. It's over. And who did it? He did it for us. If you're sanctified today, who did it? He did it for you. If you have a trial, if you're struggling with your children, with your marriage, with whatever's going on in your life, he wants to do something for you. He couldn't do anything for Abraham until Abraham got out of the way. The greatest gift Brother Branham had, he said, I can get out of the way, let him move. If you want to do something for God, let him do it for you and through you. And I just had a shouting spell. I remember I just began to weep. And I was a charismatic, so I knew how to... We weren't ashamed to shout and praise God. I don't know. There was nobody in that tobacco warehouse. They were going to make it into a non-tobacco warehouse, and they were going to put sprinkler systems so they could rent it out. You know, this was a lot of years ago. But I never forgot that. And I look inside and I said, oh, God, why do you even bother? I did it for you. Are you going to live this Christian life so you'll impress others? No. You already got your reward. That's what the Scripture says. But are you going to do out of a heart of and a relationship that, you know, there's just something, I hate to fail you, Lord. And I know I'm not perfect, but I need you to do something for me today. Some of you need God to do something for you today, don't you? You're tired of doing it yourself. You're tired of trying to be religious. Some of you are wore out trying to be a message believer. Oh, well, that's a funny one. Yeah. Because it's not us living the message or being message believers. It's allowing the message to live through us. Let Him do it for us. And who gets all the glory? Oh, well, bless God, I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes. I even give money to Brother Jim in the offering for missions. And I never fail my duties as a message believer. Ain't I wonderful? Oh, you wouldn't say that. But Abraham is a servant of God. Ishmael was born, and God says, that ain't the guy. He's a neat kid. I'm going to bless him, but he ain't the one. And he said, oh, come on, God. Wouldn't you let... Would to God that Ishmael could live before you. God don't want our Ishmaels this morning. He sent the word because nothing else would do. Not more of what we came out of wouldn't do. You just redouble your efforts. In fact, when the Pharisees tried to make converts, they were pretty proud of their converts, and Jesus let the air out of that balloon, didn't he? He says, let me talk to you about your evangelism. You compass land and sea to get one proselyte, one convert. And when you get him, here's what you've done. You made him twofold more the child of hell than you are. How dare you? I'll have you know I got all of Brother Branham's books on my shelf. Lots of dust on them, but I got them. You see, pride keeps us from having what... If we can't admit that we need Him, God's hands are tied. And if we're self-sufficient, we haven't done anything but recycled Phariseeism from way back then. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody. But if you're out there, we're on the internet too, so I have no idea who we're preaching to. God doesn't want you to try harder. He wants you just relax and let Him do that work that He has ordained for you. And then He gets all the glory. Amen. 12 minutes since I said we were done, and now we are done. Why don't you stand with me? It seemed to be harder and harder to press through at this end time because there's a lot of pressure. How many believe this building, building, building? See, God knows we need muscles. We need faith muscles, hair in our chest, you know, the prophet said. And so what does He do? They need to get a broom and sweep us on or get some move and sweep us on into glory so we can go home. He lets things deteriorate. Because He wants you to grow. Those are character builders. If you're weary this morning because of the way, that's okay. But let it be known that whatever, though you slay me, Lord. For me, Job was the man with the greatest faith in all the Bible. And of course, second is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we don't know if God's going to do this. If God slays me, yet while I trust in Him. Let me ask you this. Where are you going to go? Well, a lot of good Christian churches. Yep. But where are you going to go for this? Where are you going to go for a body change? Where are you going to go to get thus saith the Lord without any man's twist to it? We're kind of shut up, ain't we? We've got no place to go. We're exactly where God wants us.
When the multitudes went away and they said, he didn't say, I need to, well, what did I do to make these people run? He didn't even stutter. And he said, well, aren't you going to go too? Because if you can go, nothing I can do. He said, they that left us, the only reason they left, and I'm talking about VCF now, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. You don't have to be here to be a part of the kingdom. You understand it? Okay. He said, they left us because they weren't never part of us. There was something has to happen on the inside of the inside, then your anchor's cast. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's not a trial for my wife not to cut her hair. She does it gladly. She says, is it fun? No, not fun. Rollers and all the things that you have to do, you ladies are to be commended. But it's not a trial. Because there's an anchor cast somewhere inside. And I can just... Here I go again. 5 minutes. And I'm... Never ask a preacher to preach because he talks too much. It's really hard many times in counseling. My mouth just goes like... Because there's so many things. Because I said, I shouldn't be a preacher. I should just be a counselor and forget the preaching. And some of you said, amen. Some of you forget the preaching and, go back to your cubicle, Bob. I just know this. Something is, we're on the horizon. We're on the precipice of something special. Don't know. You say, well, I don't know. But it's going to be good. And it's also going to be bad. It's going to be bad for those who can't open their hearts and let God be God. That's going to be wonderful, the bride of Jesus Christ, because she's just fixing to get out of here. Who would have thought we'd be here 2008, almost 2009? I didn't even make plans for my kids to go to junior high school, let alone college. Now my grandkids are going to be going to junior high school. Something's going on, but we're not out of here yet. But we are closer than we were yesterday. I don't want you to lose sight of what God has done in this day. Whatever else struggles you have, let Him do it. How can you approach God like that? Because you're His. Simple as that. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. What is sin? Unbelief. We were loaded with it. I had boxes and boxes full of unbelief. And I lugged it along. One by one, the boxes were busted. And truth replaced error. And also, I had to replace my friends. Oh, you're following a man. I wish it was that simple. I'm happy to embrace what he, the only message in this last day that he proved to be true. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. Let me do it for you. Hallelujah. For Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the prison stain. He washed it white as snow. Glory. Thy power, thine alone, can change the leper's spots and melt the heart's stone. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him.
verse, I hear the Savior say, I can hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me. I want you to sing that verse again. I can hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, and find in me thine all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has ripped the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I enjoyed the word this morning. You know, I think a preacher wonders sometimes if what he said needed a translator. How many have the Holy Spirit? The cipher is the Holy Spirit. And I got 4 pages of notes out of that, and I just kept writing and writing, and I was just thinking of so many things that Brother Bob said. And I thought, you know, if I were to ask myself today, at 52 years old, what is stronger in my life? You say, my bank account? No. A stock portfolio? No. My health? No. My muscles? No. Well, what's stronger in my life? My faith. And so is yours. And so God's math is so different than ours, isn't it? So when he takes away something down here, he gives us something that'll be eternal. My faith is stronger today. You know, how do you know your faith stronger, Brother Jeff? Well, do you have to know everything? Do you have to have all the answers? Do you have to make sure everybody's walking a perfect life? Are you just really concerned about getting your life right with God? I'd say your faith is a little stronger. God never, ever uses a perfect environment, an environment of perfect people to grow faith. In fact, he can't grow faith in an environment of perfect people. Did you know that the man John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, because he was a slave trader, he owned a ship, thousands of slaves died on his watch. He wrote the song Amazing Grace, but he was a lyricist. He could write the song. God gave him the words, but he didn't have a melody. But when he was in the world, he'd been a sinner, and he was in a bar, and he heard a melody that he liked. So he used that bar melody and put the words with Amazing Grace. Did you know that the song Amazing Grace was not popular in John Newton's day? Because people couldn't get over the fact that they remembered that they sung a certain song with that melody in a bar. But you and I love that song today, because there's no stigma associated with where it came from. So God used an imperfect man to write a beautiful song with a melody that came out of a bar. Do you see that when God does something, it requires faith to receive it? Can you understand what I just said? And it'll never change. It'll never change. And God is going to require more faith muscles and more faith muscles. And that doesn't scare me, because he's led me to this very hour. He's led you to this very hour. And he's going to take care of you. And he's watched over you. And no matter what you've been through, and no matter, let me see, God loves you with your warts, with your shortcomings. And some of you, including myself, we've got some bad ones. And yet God loves us. If you're not struggling, you're on the wrong planet. Because God is going to ensure that each one of us grow faith. Faith for what, Brother Jeff? A rapture. Brother Bob said something, and I don't remember how he worded it, but this is what I got out of it. Whenever people have to wait a while, people don't like waiting. Now, let's just be honest. We don't like waiting. And I don't mean like waiting in line to get your hamburger. I think the greatest most difficulty is waiting for God to do what he wants to do, because we have a preconceived idea as to how he's going to do it. So we're waiting for this over here to happen, and it never happens, and God comes over here and does it this way. And here we waited all that time. Can you imagine being in the upper room, anticipating having to wait for 50 days in an upper room? 50 days to Pentecost, 10 days in an upper room. And so they're there first day, second day, third day. You know what happened in the upper room. They got tired of waiting. So Peter stands up and says, listen, we got one disciple that was a betrayer. We need somebody to replace him. Let's cast lots. Well, that wasn't the will of God. They voted in the wrong guy because they waited. People don't like to wait. Now, God wants us to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God wants us to wait, but we don't like to wait. So here they are in the upper room. They choose the wrong man completely. Brother Branham said it took them 10 days and 10 nights to get in one mind and one accord. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't singing a song that we're singing right now. Oh, Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. And child of weakness, watch and pray. He's your all in all. Amen. Lord Jesus, as Brother Bob said, the genuine seeker will get hurt. A woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She was a seeker. And Jesus, the very God of heaven and earth, said, it's not meet to give the children's bread, the Jews, to dogs. You're a Gentile. Master, send her away. She troubleth us. True Master. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. She was a genuine seeker and she got hurt. But she was rewarded. What was rewarded? Her faith was rewarded. Oh, woman, I've done everything to send you away. I've even called you the lowest thing on earth, a dog. And yet you keep coming back for the love of a daughter. Great is thy faith. Go. It'll be just as you have asked. Woman had to run through the crowd. People tried to stop her. She poured the ointment upon Jesus' head. They all were scorning the woman in contempt. That should have been sold and given to the poor. She got hurt. She was a seeker. The woman with the blood issue should have never touched the hem of Jesus' garment. According to the law, she was unclean. She should have been outside the city. She was a seeker. And her faith had made her whole. The blind man wanted to be whole. Comes to Jesus. Jesus makes him whole. Right upon that, the Sadducees and Pharisees are there. Give praise to God. Tell us plainly who healed you. I've already told you. You didn't believe me the first time. Will you believe me now? A seeker got hurt. All the disciples were seekers. And every one of them died a martyr's death. They were the elect of God, chosen, and still died a martyr's death. God Almighty, every one of us here, I can say, can place upon their lips that we are truly hungering and thirsting after you. God, I actually can say, and I know everybody can, that we love you more today than we did before. And we have found your ways are perfect, and you are all wise. God, we want to let you know that we honor you. We honor you with our life, with our actions, with our deeds, our hands, our hearts, our eyes, our mind. And we can say that your plan is perfect. God, by the grace of God, we'll get to the place where Job was. Though you slay us, yet we'll trust you. Yet, Lord, I believe with all my heart we are that group that will not taste death. Not the sting of the sword. Not a martyr's noose. But we shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the bride of Christ. Thank you for those that have ears to hear. Thank you, Lord, for as many that we talk to that don't, can't receive it. won't receive it. We thank you for those that can receive it. And not only receive it, rejoice in the truth and embrace it with all their heart. We commit our lives to you now, Father. Bring us back here safely for communion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll return here 4 o'clock for communion. 3:30, I'll meet you in the office. Those of you that I mentioned, those of their heads of departments and so on. And let's just sing a song to him. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. That's the bride of Christ. And I believe I'm one of them. Brother Branham said, remember now, it'll never be a national revival. It won't even be a church revival. It'll be a personal revival. How many are enjoying a personal revival? Amen. There are people almost everywhere. God bless you. You're dismissed.
With the power that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and saved and cleaned. Within my heart, a glory to His name. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, these people may not learn nor boast of worldly things. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet to sing. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm one of them. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm one of them. Yes, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in. Brother Tommy, could you come? Gathered in His name. With the Holy Ghost and power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. Well, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Amen, I'm one of them. Thank you, Brother Tom. Come, my brothers, seek this blessing that comes from your heart, from soul. That will start the joy bells ringing and will feed your soul of flame. It is burning now with His love, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. One of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, I'm one of them. Amen, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Give us. It was a great thing.
It was a great thing what He did for me. It was a great thing how He set me free. Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. It was a great thing that He did for me. It's so amazing what He did for me. It's so amazing how He set me free. Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could
amazing how he set me free. Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. So amazing what he did for me. I love and I lift my heart to worship. Oh, my soul rejoice, take joy, my King.
Who Spirit.